Out just by doing a little reading this morning. I'm going to be reading out of Genesis chapter 13. Before we get started though with that, it says here in Galatians chapter 2, "For if God did not spare angels when they sinned, but sent them to hell, putting them in chains of darkness to be held for judgment. If he did not spare the ancient world when he brought the flood on its ungodly people, but protected Noah, a preacher of righteousness, and seven others, if he condemned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah by burning them to ashes and made them an example of what is going to happen to the ungodly, if he rescued Lot, a righteous man, who was distressed by the depraved conduct of the lawless, for that righteous man living among them day after day was tormented in his own righteousness, in his righteous soul by the lawless deeds he saw and heard. If this is so," if God did all these things, "if this is so, then the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from trials and to hold the unrighteous for punishment on the day of judgment." So now we're going to go to Genesis chapter 13. We're not going to be reading everything that we know. That Abraham was told by God to go from Ur of the Chaldees to a land that I will show you. So it tells us in the very beginning of the chapter, verse 1, "So Abram left Egypt and traveled north into the Negev, along with his wife and Lot, and all that they owned. Abraham was very rich in livestock and silver and gold. From the Negev, they continued traveling by stages toward Bethel, and they pitched their tents between Bethel and Ai." Ai is a place, not artificial intelligence. "Where they had camped before. This was the same place that where Abram had built the altar, and there he worshipped the Lord God. Lot, who was traveling with him, had also become very wealthy." I want you to see that. "With flocks of sheep and goats, herds of cattle, and many tents. But the land could not support both Abram and Lot, with all their flocks and herds living so close together. So disputes broke out between the herdsmen of Abram and Lot. At that time, Canaanites and Perizzites were also living in the land. Finally, Abram said to Lot, 'Let's not allow this conflict to come between us, our herdsmen. After all, we are close relatives. The whole countryside is open to you. Take your choice of any section of the land you want, and we will separate. If you want the land to the left, then I'll go to the right. And if you prefer the land to the right, then I'll go to the left.' Lot took a long look at the fertile plains of Jordan Valley in the direction of Zoar." Remember Zoar. "The whole area was well watered everywhere, like the garden of the Lord or the beautiful land of Egypt. This was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Lot chose for himself the whole Jordan Valley to the east of them. He went there with its flocks and servants and parted company with his uncle Abram. So Abram settled in the land of Canaan, and Lot moved his tents to a place near Sodom and settled among the cities of the plain." So here we have, instead of talking about Abraham today, or Abram, what he was called before his name was changed to Abraham, I want to look at his nephew, Lot. There was evidently some disputes going on between the herdsmen, and Abram told Lot to go and choose the land. "If you go this way, I'll go that way. And if you go that way, I'll go this way." And Lot made a choice to choose the land towards Zoar. And from different things I've read and seen, that would probably be in the vicinity of the Dead Sea today. But that land was very productive back then, desirable. But today, if you go to that Dead Sea area, there's nothing there. All the different, I don't know if the Dead Sea is the way it is today because of what God did in Sodom and Gomorrah when he destroyed it and sulfur and all sorts of things rained down upon it and God burned it. Or the Dead Sea has always been that way. I prefer to believe the first one, that the Dead Sea used to be productive and became that way after this destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. But Lot chose to go toward Zoar. And he didn't just, it says in the very end of that sentence we just read that he lived near in the plains near the city. He didn't just choose a piece of land out in the country. He got himself close to the city. He made a choice to be close to people. And sometimes I wonder, because the Bible does tell us he was a righteous man. But at the same time, righteous people make mistakes. We make choices sometimes that affect us, affect others, affect people around us. And sometimes we don't put as much prayer into our decisions as we should. I've had good talks before with Dan about asking God for a fleece or praying a certain way. And I do believe that we have to be careful that we don't pray in a way that we decide by what we ask for. If I ask for this, that's not going to happen. Most likely, we got to really put a lot of faith in our prayer for God to show us, not for us to manipulate God's answer. So Lot had chose to go towards Zoar, towards the land of Sodom and Gomorrah. And he was settled in among a lot of very sinful people. Now we don't shun people. We don't not have friends because they're sinners. We don't stay away from people that think differently than us. I mean, how many of you, you don't have to raise your hand, but have had a friend sometimes that knows you're churchy, you go to church, you love Jesus, but maybe there's a conversation going on that's not so nice, and maybe one of those friends says something to the effect like, don't judge me. Like, you didn't really say anything, but they already knew what you were thinking. So those are the kind of people, not that we're not going to have those people in our life, that Lot was around all the time. But before we get into that part, there was a time right after Lot moved that there was an attack on that area. And Lot was actually carried away and captive. And word got back to Abram what had happened to his nephew Lot. So Abram, being the God-fearing man that he was, put together some people and he went and undid what happened to Lot, rescued him, and was able to save that area. So even Abraham at one point in time was caring about the people that lived where Lot was at. But time went on, and eventually God became very unsatisfied with what was going on in Sodom and Gomorrah. He wanted Lot to get out. But Lot, you know what Lot said. Lot came to God and said, if I can just find so many righteous, will you spare it? Because he did care about the people. I've never thought about Lot being righteous before. Yes, he put himself in a situation where he was around people that were questionable, but at the same time, he cared about them. I mean, you know, how many people know how many daughters Lot had? Anybody know how many daughters Lot had? Go ahead.
Yeah, one.
Huh?
One to two.
Two. Yep, two. There's two daughters. So this story means something to me because I only have one daughter. Well, Sophie's my bonus daughter. So Lot was in this area. His daughters were growing up. They were seeing all these different people that weren't like Abraham, Uncle Abraham. They weren't like Dad. And sometimes when we put ourselves, our kids into a situation that's questionable, even though you may have good intentions, sometimes those decisions you made affect other people, not just you. And that's the thing about this story. See, I can't compare to Abraham. Abraham, it says he believed God and was reckoned to him as righteousness. We don't ever see too much about Abraham other than him at one occasion at least lying about who his wife was so they didn't maybe kill him and do something to her. But overall, Abraham painted in Scripture as this elite, faithful, righteous man. I can't compare to that. I made way too many mistakes in my book. I've done way too many things that I know of that I shouldn't have done. I can compare more to Lot. I can compare to Lot and go, wow, I'm more of a Lot in life. What was the title again? Don't get a lot like Lot a lot. I think that was the title I told him. Don't get a lot. Don't get a place to live like Lot a lot. It's not up there. That's okay. So I can compare to him. So the day came where God had finally given Lot many chances. Okay, if you can find 10 people. If you can find 5 people. If you can find, I think it got all the way down to 1. Couldn't find 1. 1 righteous person. So finally, the Bible tells us, without turning there, that the angels came. Some angels came. And they came to Lot's house. They knocked on the door. And Lot brought them into his house. And the depraved men of the city, it says, came and knocked on his door and said, send out those guys that came to your house. We want to have sex with them. And Lot says, do not do this thing. He even calls him brother. He says in the scriptures, do not do this thing, brother. So, I mean, I believe because of the way that Lot even talked to them, even though he knew some of the ways they lived their life and some of the things they did, he didn't not talk to them. He didn't not have anything to do with them. But they said, and this is where I mentioned this earlier, don't judge us. Just send them out. Don't judge us. And then this is the part that I don't understand why Lot said it, but he did. Listen, I've got 2 daughters in here. Let me send them out to you. You can do whatever you want to them. Now, I that wouldn't be words that would come out of my mouth. But anyway, because the angels were inside listening, they actually pulled Lot and everybody back into the house. And because they were angels sent by God, these men were stricken with blindness and they couldn't even see to find the door. And that's when the angels said, come on, let's go. We're getting out of this place. And Lot listened. Okay, I asked God to, if I could find this many people or that many people, if he would spare, but we got finally to that point where the angel said, hey, God's going to destroy this place, we're leaving right now. Don't think the sons-in-laws to be went with them. They went out to talk to them, to get them to come with them, and they laughed. So Lot and his wife, 2 daughters, all split. Except, and I think Scripture kind of gives us the indication that Lot's wife looked back like, oh, I'm going to miss this place. I'm going to miss. She was looking back toward the questionable way of living versus the godly way of living. And the Bible says she was turned to a pillar of stone, salt. And then the Scripture goes on where Lot goes toward Zoar. He asked, The angel said, we're going to go to the mountains. And he's like, I don't want to go to the mountains. Can we at least spare Zoar? Can we ask God to spare Zoar so we can at least go there? And the other parts of the city, is Sodom and Gomorrah and other places, are destroyed. So the angels agreed. He went towards Zoar and eventually ended up going up into the mountains. Now, I don't know what was going through the girl's mind at this point in time or even why Lot couldn't see this next part coming. But eventually he did head up into the mountains. And there's some indication maybe that the daughters were thinking, boy, you know, all this destruction took place. Sodom and Gomorrah are no more. We're the only people left. I wonder if that was what was going through their mind. And we don't have any kids. So they decided to take some alcohol into dad and getting to drinking, and one by one they had relations with their own father, which is where the land of Moab and Ammon come from today. At some point in time, Lot wasn't using good judgment there either. Once he started drinking the wine, he didn't see fit to stop when he started feeling a little tipsy, putting himself into a situation, a comparable situation, just like he did by moving to Sodom and Gomorrah. He might have had the right intentions when he moved. At the same time, sometimes his actions were questionable. I just want us today as dads, not just dads, moms, kids, think about as you grow up your decisions that you make. Think about, did I really put a lot of prayer and thought in that decision, or am I just doing what I want to do? I think we need to ask ourselves that question on a regular basis. Because choices matter. We read earlier out of Galatians chapter 2, verses 7 and 8, where it tells us that Lot was a righteous man. And he was, what was the word? I can't remember what word was used, but even in his righteousness, God allowed him to go through some rough times. Sometimes when we make poor choices, maybe we're still righteous. But God allows us, because of our choices, to go through some rough times. Not because he's making us go through the times. Scripture is very clear that God does not tempt us, nor can he be tempted. I believe that's in 3 John or 2 John. I can't remember which. But sometimes even in our righteousness, we don't put enough prayer and thought into our decisions. And that's what I took away from this today, and is this sermon as I was preparing it and thinking about it. There's a lot of verses in Scripture. Proverbs 17:17. If you're turning there with me. Proverbs 17. Proverbs 17 says, "A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for a time of adversity." God wants us to have friends, but he wants us to have friends or brothers, if you will, that are there for us during hard times. So choose your friends. You're not always going to have Christian friends, but you need to have more Christian friends than you have worldly friends. So when times of trouble do come, you have some people with a sound mind, with a godly background that are there to give you advice. Back in Proverbs chapter 12, verse 26. Proverbs 12, 26. "The righteous choose their friends carefully, but the way of the wicked leads them astray." So Lot was righteous. Yes, he had some friends that were godly, but he lived more around among the ungodly, and that tended to affect some of his decisions at times. As I was thinking how to conclude today, I thought one of my favorite stories in the Bible that I can relate to is in Mark chapter 5. It's when Jairus comes to Jesus because his daughter is homesick and dying. And I can't even imagine what was going through his head, the kind of grief and the pain he was going through. And he's seeking out Jesus. And the Bible does tell us that he was a leader in the synagogue. So we know that Nicodemus sought out Jesus at night because he didn't want his friends in the synagogue to know that Nicodemus was seeking out Jesus. Here Jairus is seeking out Jesus. His daughter's laying home sick, dying. And as he's speaking to Jesus, his servants come to him and said, "Sir, your daughter has died. Don't trouble the master any longer." Here Jairus, a religious leader, righteous, was seeking out Jesus, maybe different than his Pharisee and Sadducee friends, actually believing that he could do what he has done for other people. And Jesus goes with him to his house. One of the things that we can, the song in our books is "Only Believe." Jesus told Jairus, "Only believe." And Jairus, they had a bunch of people there mourning, I believe is the story. And Jesus went into the room and talked about how she was asleep. And the people laughed at Jesus. And he sent them all out of the room and had the girl get up. But he told Jairus, and he said, "Only believe." I think sometimes when you're righteous and you're going through some hard times, having some questionable decisions that you're trying to make, maybe maybe you need to be thinking about being more of a Jairus. Don't stop believing. Keep looking to Jesus. Go search him out. And even when your friends around you come and say, "Sir, your daughter's gone. Don't trouble him anymore." Whatever that thing is that's troubling you, whatever that thing is that's got you wondering or worrying or questioning where you're at in life, never give up on believing and searching out Jesus. This morning, I want to sing, we'll close with the song 332, "There is Joy in Serving Jesus." If we look around us and find ways to serve Jesus, to do things that make the difference in somebody else's life, to see the joy that somebody else experiences because God used you, if we find those things to do and do them on a regular basis, our life will be so much full of joy that we're not going to have room for the doubts and the things in life that tend to draw us away from God. 332, please stand, "Joy in Serving Jesus."